for our lesson this morning, found in the bulletin and the table in the back. If you did not get one of those, you won't bother me in the least if you get up and go get one at this time so that we can study together. Our lesson for this morning is entitled, Why Should We Give Thanks? Why should we give thanks? Now, of course, if you're assembled here this morning, you are a thankful and grateful person. Otherwise, you wouldn't be sitting where you are. But let's look at it from a biblical standpoint. Why should we give thanks? A fictitious story is told of two angels who were sent to earth to gather the prayers of mankind. One was sent in particular to gather the petitions of men, the desires, the wants, while another was sent to gather the prayers of thanksgiving. One returned with an overflowing basket, the other with very little inside. We can, of course, imagine which one had the least inside. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, Paul said, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus." In everything give thanks, Paul instructed those of Philippi, and by inspiration us then. The Bible, of course, says a great deal about gratitude. The word thanks itself is found in the King James Version 73 times in 71 verses. There's a first time for everything in regards to those words, and it's of interest to me that the first time we find the word thanks in the Bible isn't until 2 Samuel 22:50. Where the Bible says, "Therefore I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and I will sing praises unto thy name." Just an aside, but a point of interest nonetheless. It's worthy of our time to study the uses of the word thanks as we pause during this week, annually in our country, on this holiday that we call Thanksgiving. But as we begin to study these matters in which the word thanks is found, we begin to develop a pattern that shows us some matters regarding our gratitude. We come to a better understanding of why we should be intensely interested in giving thanks to God. Notice with me this morning four reasons why we should give thanks. First, we should give thanks because it is the will of God. Because it is the will of God. If there was no other reason, if we could find no other reason in Scripture for giving thanks, this would be sufficient. Simply because it's the will of God, if there are no other points to the lesson than this, that would be sufficient for us to know that it's something that we need to do. To one intent on being His Creator, thus saith the Lord, is all we need. That's sufficient for us to do what we do. That God expects gratitude, of course, is evident from His Word. He has, first of all, expressed the desire for gratitude. He expressed the desire for gratitude. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of Christ Jesus concerning you." We noticed earlier in Philippians 4, 7 to 9, that same sentiment expressed. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We should be a grateful people, and we must in order to be pleasing to God. And so then, it's the will of God. He has expressed the desire for gratitude. But second, He has revealed the design for gratitude. When God tells us what to do and how to do it, when He gives us details, then we must be particular about the details since He has been. We are bound to follow the details when God gives them to us. We find in Ephesians 5 and verse 20, "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." You see, some are heard praying to Jesus. That's not the design in Scripture. The design we find in Scripture, the pattern for us, is pray to God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. Others are heard praying in the name of the Father. They'll conclude their prayer by saying, "In your name we pray." And that's not according to the design. According to design, we're praying to God the Father. We're praying through our mediator, our intercessor, Jesus the Christ. And someone would say, "Well, is that really important?" Well, it's important enough for God to have mentioned it in His Word here in Ephesians 5 and verse 20. Remember that we often say the devil is in the details. Well, the Lord's in the details. Look at the details He's given. It was important enough for Him to mention that in this passage, but it was also important enough for Him to repeat it Colossians 3 and verse 17, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks unto the God and the Father by Him. So we have some design then in regards to giving thanks. We noticed that He has expressed the desire for gratitude. He has revealed the design for gratitude. But third, He has given details for gratitude. Other details than the design that we just mentioned. As an example of that, we found some explicit statements from God about giving thanks or about praying. 1 Timothy 2, 1-3, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. We are told some details about our prayer life. We are to pray then for men, for kings, for all that are in authority, and other such authoritative figures in our lives. Now, it may be that we don't agree with their policies, their politics, but we are to have regard as Christian people for the offices that they represent. And of course, there are times when each of us will find ourselves at odds with the policies that are being presented. But our God instituted three institutions for mankind, the first being the home, the second being government, and the third being the church. And so we are bound to be thankful for those who are in authority, for the position of the individual at least. But we find also another detail in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Now, the word for men here is the word that is particular to the male species. It's not the word anthros or anthropos, which means mankind as a whole. This is the Greek word anea, which means the male of the species. When we look at worship, God has put details into place, and one of those is that the men are to take the lead in that way, that women are to keep silence, 1 Timothy 2 and following, in that regard in taking the lead. They're neither to teach nor usurp authority over the man. And when it comes to prayer, this detail is given, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, those who are the male of the species. When we look then at the idea for giving thanks and why we should be a thanksgiving people, number one, it's the will of God. If that were all we had, that would be sufficient for us to know we must do it. But we find other matters as well. Second, it's the way of Christ, or it was the way of Christ. It's the will of God. It was the way of Christ. We find the Lord often praying to His Father. He, of course, is our ultimate example, 1 Peter 2:21, for even hereunto were you called. Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in His steps. We know, of course, that we're to be followers of the Lord, and so He is our example in all matters, in as well as this matter of prayer. But what do we think of when we see this example of Jesus? He is our ultimate example because He expressed gratitude for provisions from above. He expressed gratitude for those things which had been given to Him. Mark 8 and verse 6, He commanded the people to sit down. The feeding, of course, of the 5,000, the feeding of the 4,000, both of those instances when He expressed thanks. He commanded the people to sit down on the ground. He took the 7 loaves, gave thanks, notice, and break, gave to the disciples to set before them. They did set them before the people. And so we have here His example for us. He gave thanks for that which was about to be received by Him and by those who were about Him as well. In John 6 and verse 11, Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, notice, He distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise the fishes, as much as they would. And so we have this example of the Lord giving thanks, expressing gratitude for that which was about to be partaken of by those about Him. John 6, 22 and 23, the day following, when the people were still on the other side of the sea, saw that there were none other boat there, save the one whereinto His disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with His disciples into the boat, but that His disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias, nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. It's interesting that in this context and revealing the travels of the Lord, that in the parenthetical statement it set aside the idea that He gave thanks or had given thanks for the food which He had provided for those individuals. Think of it. If the Lord of heaven, deity enshrined in human flesh, gave thanks for that which he himself had provided, how much more then should we be a grateful people for that which he has provided for us and that for which we have not provided for ourselves? He expressed gratitude then for provision from above. But again, he expressed gratitude for in the presence of all. As we've just noticed on those occasions, that he expressed gratitude or expressed thanks for the provisions that were given, and he did that in the presence of all. In Acts 27:35, when they had thus spoken, he took bread, that is, Paul, and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all, and when he had broken it, he began to eat. Here's Paul in his shipwreck, or that which was about to happen with the ship, but he gave thanks before all in this instance before they had eaten. Now think about it. They were in the perils of the sea. The winds were boisterous. The waves were high. They were about to crash. He had already told them that. His inspiration had revealed it unto him. None of them were going to perish, though, if they stayed in the ship, as Paul revealed to them. But it had been 14 days since they had eaten, and Paul said, "You need to eat." And so he took bread in their presence, but before he ate it as an example to them, he gave thanks before God for it. And so he was a grateful individual. Now, Paul expressed gratitude here in this public manner. As we know, Paul said he was a follower of Christ and encouraged others to follow him in that way. 1 Corinthians 11:1, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ Jesus." And so he would encourage others to follow the example that he set before others. Now, Paul wasn't maintaining his perfection, but he was maintaining his faithfulness. We should be able to say the same thing, "Follow me in the faithful way in which I follow the Lord." We should serve as examples to others, and others should be able to follow in our steps and come to some of those same conclusions. And so Jesus certainly expressed thanks in a public way. As a follower of Jesus, Paul did so as well, and he encouraged others to follow him in that way also. But again, Jesus expressed gratitude in preparation for his adoration. In Matthew 26:27 and following, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. For this cup is, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you that I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Here on this last night of Jesus with his Passover before his crucifixion, he observed the Lord's observed the Passover, which was a Jewish feast, of course, and in that, toward the end of it, he established the Lord's Supper. But he gave thanks for those matters. Now, just momentarily, a few moments ago, we observed the Lord's Supper. And in accordance with this detail and other passages, we gave thanks for the bread. We also gave thanks for the fruit of the vine, as it was revealed unto us in Scripture so to do. We find further in 1 Corinthians 11:23, Graham read a portion of this passage for us a while ago. "For I received the Lord Jesus, that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks," notice, "he brake it, and said to them, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread, drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." But notice he gave thanks for both of those. Now once again, we should be impressed with the fact that here is the Lord from heaven. Here is deity incarnate, who is giving thanks for bread that represented his body and for the fruit of the vine which represented his blood. If our Lord and Savior, who offered that body, who gave up that blood for us, offered thanks for it, how much more should we be grateful in anticipation of observing that cup and that bread regarding his sacrifice for us? So we see we should give thanks because it is the will of God. But secondly, because it was the way of Christ. But third, because it declares the worth of deity. It declares the worth of deity. Each time we express gratitude, we demonstrate the value of God in our lives. And contrarily to that, when we fail to express gratitude, we devalue God in our lives. Gratitude is an expression of the worth that we place on provisions from God, and therefore it's an expression of the worth that we place upon God himself. As an illustration of that, in Matthew 25, the judgment scene beginning in verse 34, continuing through the end of that chapter, Jesus said before him would be gathered all nations, and he would separate them one from another as the sheep divideth the shepherd from the goats. And he would set the sheep on the right hand, the goats on the left hand. And he would say to those on the right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you in the foundation of the world. I was hungered, and you gave me meat, thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in, and so on. And they would say to him, Lord, when did we see you in this fashion? And he said, inasmuch as you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me. And so how we treat those who belong to Christ is the same manner, in essence, as how we treat Christ. When we look to the reverse side of that, those on the left, the goats, to whom he would say, depart from me, they would say, Lord, when did we see you a hunger or thirst or naked or destitute and didn't minister to you? Inasmuch you did it not to the least of these, my brethren, you did it not to me. And so it is, when we give thanks for the provisions that have been provided for us by God, we in essence are showing our gratitude or showing our estimation of the worth of the one who gave them. Many times perhaps we're guilty of valuing that which we receive from God in a greater way than actually we view God himself. And so the goodness of God is exclaimed through the expressions of our gratitude. On one occasion, in Psalm 30 and verse 4, the psalmist said, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. I mentioned before that of all the characteristics of God, perhaps the greatest, perhaps the most striking to us is the holiness of God. Isaiah had to be impressed with the holiness of God. And so in Isaiah 6, the Bible reveals that he saw a vision where he was seeing the holiness of God portrayed before him. And he, in essence, saw just how small he was in the presence of the holiness of God. But here in this passage, we give thanks at the remembrance of the holiness of God. The psalmist likewise said, unto thee, O God, do we give thanks. Unto thee do we give thanks, for that thy name is near, thy wondrous works declare. And again, the words of the psalmist in Psalm 97, rejoice in the Lord, you righteous. Give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Once again, repeated by the psalmist here. The goodness of God proclaimed in the expression of our gratitude on a number of occasions. On at least five occasions, the psalmist stated that thanks should be given to God, for he is good. Notice Psalm 106 and verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, O good thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. In the very next psalm, Psalm 107 and verse 1, almost the same words. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Further, in Psalm 118 and verse 1, the same words, for the most part, are given again. For he is good, his mercy endureth forever. And then in Psalm 118 and verse 29, he's good, and his mercy endureth forever. Therefore, we should give thanks unto him. Likewise, in Psalm 136 and verse 1, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. The psalmist proclaimed that gratitude is to be expressed to God for his holiness, for his goodness, but also because of his righteous judgment. Psalm 119:62, at midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. Why should we give thanks to God? Number one, it's the will of God. Number two, it was the way of Christ. Number three, because it declares the worth of deity. But then finally, we should give thanks to God because it shows the wisdom of man. Demonstrates the wisdom of man. Gratitude demonstrates the wisdom of the one who expresses it. How foolish is it to fail to be grateful for the blessings or gifts we received? I dare say across our nation today, in pulpits across this land, many are going to be talking about the leper that was healed, or the 10 that were healed, and the one that came back. The other 9 are expressed no gratitude. Jesus said, were there not 10 healed? Where then are the 9? And so the lack of gratitude on behalf of so many. How foolish to be grateful for the blessings or gifts we receive. How many of us would continue to lavish gifts upon a friend or a relative who is ungrateful, who expressed no gratitude for that which one received? Well, the same is true with God then. He is wise who is grateful to God for the bounty that he bestows upon him. Scripture reveals the wisdom involved in giving thanks to God. It tells us about that. First, it demonstrates that it's pleasant for us to give thanks to God. In Psalm 92 and verse 1, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. It is a good thing. Now, in regard to that, notice what James tells us in James 4:17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, doeth it not to him it is sin. Putting those two passages together, if it's a good thing for us to express gratitude to God, and if we fail to do that which we know to be good, we sin in doing that, then those who are ungrateful sin in failing to give thanks to God. It's a pleasant thing. It is good, the psalmist tells us. But it's also something that is profitable. It's profitable. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. Else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks? Seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest. For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. Now in this context, he's speaking of miraculous abilities in the first century. 9 of them are enumerated in 1 Corinthians 12. He reveals the limitations of them in chapter 13 and then some regulations about them in chapter 14. But one of those regulations was in the speaking of tongues, that is, in the speaking of languages that a person had not prior to that time learned, but was given that ability in the first century in a miraculous way by God, speaking in tongues or foreign languages. He said, if they're coming to somebody in your presence and you're speaking this foreign language and they don't understand the language, what profit has it to them? And so he regulated that. He said, if a person speaks in an unknown tongue or a foreign language, let him hold it to himself unless there's someone to interpret that into the language of the people. And so if someone came here and spoke in Spanish, there may be some in the audience that understand that, but most of us would not. And so that regulation would abide. We shouldn't allow someone to come and speak in a foreign language, something we don't even understand. So we apply that to prayer as well. It may be that if you speak in a foreign language that you've done an excellent job in praying to God. But what good did it do others because they couldn't understand that? We ought to use that as an illustration. It's profitable to mankind that we give thanks to God. It shows our wisdom. It profits not only the one who expresses gratitude, but those who, in this case, hear gratitude being expressed. Mark was going to lead us in our closing prayer at the end of our services today. And among other things, in that prayer, he's going to express gratitude on behalf of each of us for the food that is going to be presented to us. And it's a profitable thing that we do that. And his expressing gratitude on our behalf is something that we should lift up our thoughts in regards to the blessings that are going to be ours. And so, as he presents it, giving thanks to God shows our wisdom because it's profitable, but also, as we noticed earlier, because it's pleasant. But then also because it's pleasing. It is pleasing because it is something that the true righteous do. In Psalm 140 and verse 13, surely the righteous shall give thanks unto thy name. The upright shall dwell in thy presence. Well, if the righteous give thanks to God, don't we want to be included in that number? If we're righteous, then it just follows that an individual will be grateful to God for that which he has. It's pleasing in the sight of God for an individual so to give thanks to his name. It's pleasing because it's something that true righteous people do. But second, it's pleasing because it's something the truly reasonable discern. We figure that out, don't we? We figure out in life, if someone gives us a gift, we figure out very early on. We're told by our parents, say thank you. And we do that until it becomes a part of us. Until we no longer have to be told, say thank you because they've given you something. It's something that we just naturally do. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, Paul said, now thanks be unto God which always causeth us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. It's something that we reasonably discern. We come to that conclusion. God has given us all of this. How mistaken we are if we fail to give gratitude to him for what he's provided for us. It is pleasing to God because it is something that the true righteous do. It's pleasing to God because it's something that the truly reasonable discern. But it's also pleasing to God because it's something that thoughtful recipients disclose. It's something that we in turn reveal to others. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 15, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. All we can do is give thanks. We can't discern just every aspect of the gift of God, salvation, Christ Jesus, and the sacrifice that he made. We really can't fathom that in its totality. We can to a degree, but what can we do in regard to that? Give thanks to God for it. in 2 Thessalonians 2:13 and 14, we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Wherefore he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it's something that thoughtful recipients disclose. Paul said, you think about what he's given to you, to these Thessalonian brethren, and to us by inspiration. Just think about what he's done for you. He has paved the way. He's made the way of salvation obvious, and he's given you the terms of that you might follow those. We should give thanks to God, of course, and we should be thankful to him because it is the will of God. It's something that God commands of us. And as we said at the outset, if there was nothing else we could say about giving thanks, if there were no, as we would say, common sense aspect to it, this would be sufficient because God tells us to do so. But we also see from Scripture this is the way of Christ, or it was when he was on earth. He gave thanks on every occasion that was presented to him that was presentable to that. He gave thanks for that which he himself had provided, but he gave thanks before other people for that. How much more should we do so? Then we see that it declares the worth of deity. Whenever we express to God thanks, our gratitude for something that he has provided for us, we express, in essence, how we feel about him. We declare what he's worth to us when we express our gratitude for that which he has given. And then it shows the wisdom of man. It shows us wisdom. Just as we train our children, say thank you when someone gives them something, we're trained in the Word of God to be grateful for that which he's provided for us. We must be a grateful people then. We pause in our country. One day out of the year, one week if you count the entirety of it, to give thanks to God. But Thanksgiving's more than a day. It's more than a meal. It's a lifestyle for those who are grateful for what God has given unto us. It is something that God has commanded of us. It's his will. It's something that Jesus personified before us, laid the example for us. It's something that expresses to God how we feel about him, our worth of him, so to speak. And it also, then, will show our wisdom to him. We're wise, the Scriptures tell us, if we're grateful for that which God has given unto us. Are you grateful for God's blessings today? I know that you are to some degree, but are we grateful in the way that God has expressed that to us? We must be grateful above all for the spiritual blessings that we have. The Bible tells us that all spiritual blessings in heavenly places are in Christ Jesus, Colossians 1:3. And therefore, in order to have those spiritual blessings appropriated to us, in order to truly have those, we must be in Christ. In order to be in Christ, we have to do that which God gives in detail as to how we get into Christ. The Bible says in John 8:24, except you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. We have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Peter said, thou art the Christ. The Ethiopian nobleman said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, in Acts chapter 8. We have to believe in Jesus. But is that all? The Bible tells us in Luke 13:3, I tell you, nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Here's a detail then regarding that salvation for which we should be thankful. We're to repent of our sins. The Bible says we're to confess the name of Christ before men, Romans 10:9-10. With the heart man believeth in righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We have to express that same sentiment, that we believe Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And just as it shows us the wisdom of God and demonstrates in a way the wisdom of men, if we confess or if we give thanks before those who are around us, if we give thanks for that which we've received, how much more should we confess Christ before those about us? And shall we express with the mouth, I believe Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Based upon that faith, that repentance, and that confession, we're baptized into Christ. Galatians 3:27, Romans 6:3 and 4. In order to be in Christ, we have to get into Christ. And only two verses tell us how to do that. Romans 6:3 and 4 and Galatians 3:27. Both tell us we're baptized into Christ. And so if I'm going to be in Christ, where all spiritual blessings are, I have to do that which God gives in detail must be done in order to accomplish that. When I do that, I'm added to the church by the Lord himself, Acts 2 and verse 47. Saved from my past sins, they're washed away, Acts 22 and verse 16. And so this morning, as we think of this idea of gratitude, are you grateful for that blessing, if you have that blessing, if you remember that body, are we grateful to that? Do we express it to God on numerous occasions that we live our lives in gratitude toward Him. This morning, if you're a member of the body of Christ, but maybe you've turned away, maybe you no longer are living a life of gratitude to Him. That's the will of God. It was the way of Christ. It shows the worth of deity, and it shows the wisdom of man. This morning, if you need our assistance, ask God's forgiveness on your part. James 5 and verse 16, we're to confess our faults one to another, pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We'll pray with you and for you if that's your need this morning. Won't you express your gratitude to God in one of the greatest ways you can, and that is by being obedient to His will, becoming a Christian, or returning to faithful service. If we can assist you this morning in doing that, won't you come while we stand and while we sing together?